the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to Lifetime Planning. As we all do at this time of the year, you've probably gone through your New Year's resolutions. Well, if you've been quarantined, you've probably had a lot of time to think about them. But it is that time of the year with New Year's resolutions. So today our topic is going to be getting into financial shape for 2021. Joining me on the program is Senior Financial Planner Aaron Wigman at Financial Sense Wealth Management. And Aaron, why don't we begin? You know, when you think about this time of the year, people are making New Year's resolutions. If somebody wanted to get into financial shape, what are the things that we should be advising them to look at and make a priority to begin the new year?
You know, I mean, it's January, and I think it's a great time for people to once again establish whatever kind of financial goals it is that they might have for 2021. It's been a rough last 12 months, and so now as we wind up looking forward, just kind of understanding what kind of financial goals you might have, and that is going to be a different thing for someone who's early on in their life, you know, having kids, trying to save for a house, you know, maybe putting together an emergency fund and just kind of understanding what their budget's going to look like, as opposed to someone who's closer to the retirement and just knowing, okay, how am I going to make these funds last now that I've gotten at this point in time? So it's going to be different things for different people. But I think the one thing that we can probably say is going to be similar is establishing a good budget.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, every company, if you're invested in the stock market, there's three financial statements. There's the income statement, the balance sheet, and the statement of cash flow. Every company sets a budget regarding those three financial statements for the following year. You know, what do we think our revenues are going to be? What are our expenses? What are we going to have to spend money on in terms of capital expenditures? What kind of cash flow will we have? And then prioritize. You know, companies have goals just like you do as an individual. And this is maybe something we ought to address here when it comes to goals, Aaron. And that is, let's take three different type of individuals. Let's take a family. Let's say a new couple that just got married, they're starting a family. Take somebody that's probably age 45, got kids entering college in the next couple of years. And then let's take somebody that's maybe 55, 60, that's looking at retirement in 5 or 10 years. So let's talk about how it's important to prioritize goals because, you know, you have a limited amount of funds that you have to work with, or if you're fortunate enough, you have a lot of funds, well, it makes it easier. But allocating your resources towards different goal objectives.
Yeah, and I think what you had touched on was that cash flow is going to be important for everyone, whether or not they're the young family or that family that's approaching retirement. And it's a matter of, you know, while I'm young, I have that cash flow coming in from my job. And, you know, for them, you know, some of those first priorities might just be establishing the appropriate emergency fund, making sure that they have that. So just in case the next pandemic hits or something that comes up, you know, there's job changes or there's a health situation that you do have ready cash available, that you don't have to go ahead and sell off investments or tap into a retirement account to be able to get you through those tough times. So the same thing would wind up, you know, occurring if you're approaching retirement as well and you don't necessarily have, let's just say you don't have a pension or, you know, the floor of income that you're looking for, and those funds need to actually come from the retirement accounts. It's still good to maintain a good cash position so that you can get through some tough times or, you know, the unexpected expenses come up.
When we talk about budgeting, so let's assume you start out with a budget, you set goals. Let's talk about some of the other things you need to look at. And I'm going to bring up one since, you know, we're still dealing with COVID, but it's also looking at your estate planning documents. You know, we don't know what your health condition is. It's rather interesting. You know, I'm older than age 65, so I'm on Medicare. What I found interesting is my healthcare provider reached out to me and wanted to have durable powers, medical powers, an attorney on record, because, you know, if somebody all of a sudden gets COVID, they have to go into ICU or they're getting treated, obviously there's going to have to be medical decisions that have to be made. And basically, the hospital and the medical people want to make sure that you have the estate planning documents to have those decisions made. So let's address some of the estate planning. And once again, taking three different types of profiles, a young family, somebody in their mid-40s, somebody in their late 50s or middle 60s.
Sure. I mean, you look at the young family, you know, whether it be young children or, you know, even older children that are entering college. I mean, it's important for every stage of life to have that will in place, you know, have the trust documents in place. You know, do you have the appropriate powers of attorney so that if you can't necessarily make financial decisions for yourself, did you actually put someone in place to make those decisions for you? You know, same thing with those healthcare directives. You know, so it's important that if, God forbid, something happens to mom and dad and you wind up leaving two kids by themselves, have you established who it is that you want to take care of those kids? And are we still, have we taken care of things appropriately from a financial perspective to make sure that those kids are going to be all right too? You know, and I guess, you know, the same thing goes as you wind up approaching into retirement, that, you know, as your faculties decrease, as you wind up getting older, it's important that you do have those people nominated that are important in your financial and your health life that are there to make those decisions for you when you're not going to be able to. Sometimes when you really want that to happen, it might be too late and you don't want to be in that position.
And I want to point out, and this applies to a lot of young families or families in between, and where you may not have accumulated enough assets to retire, so you're in the accumulation phase, but you have large life insurance policies. And Eric, let's talk about things like a springing testamentary trust so that you don't have the assets, but all of a sudden you die and you have $1 million life insurance policy to make sure. And let's say mom and dad get in a car accident, $1 million goes into the estate, but the kids are all juniors.
So a lot of times when you wind up having the young family who does have life insurance and they're accumulating assets, a lot of times what we wind up doing is making sure that the life insurance, and this goes for all beneficiary designations across the board, is make sure you have the right beneficiary designations on your retirement accounts, on your, you know, on your life insurances, on your 401ks at work, so that we're putting it in the right place. So things like the life insurance, that could go to the trust that is now going to be funded if something happens to mom and dad, so that the trust basically controls the money financially, and you know that the kids are going to be taken care of for those HEMS provisions. So the health, education, maintenance, and support of the children if you're not there. And, you know, sometimes what winds up making sense too is that you may have one person who might be taking care of the kids, and you might have another person in your life that winds up taking care of the money, and they're the successor trustee for you.
And, you know, in addition to estate planning, I think other things that we should be talking about, and it'll probably happen this year, there's, you know, two things they say that are certainties in life: death and taxes. We have a new administration that will take office January 20th, and they're talking about changes to the tax code. So what should individuals be looking at? One of the things I like to recommend, Aaron, is you take a look at your tax return on the second page. There's a line item called taxable income. And what I always like to do is tell clients to take a look at that figure, go to the tax brackets, and find out what tax bracket that they're in. So they know that, for example, if they get a bonus or if they get a raise, they know how much of that bonus or raise is going to go in additional taxes. And then also it helps in terms of determining the type of investments you want to make so you have more after-tax income, whether it's making investments in a pension plan, an IRA, 401k, or maybe doing tax-favored investments like individual stocks or a stock mutual fund, which are taxed at lower brackets than, let's say, interest income or ordinary income.
Right. It's funny you say that, because I was just having this conversation with a client the other day, and she was kind of complaining about how, those bonuses that she wound up receiving at the end of the year and how much taxes were taken out. Well, lo and behold, that did actually throw her into the next tax bracket. So she went from the 24 to the 32% tax bracket. Now it all made sense to her at that point in time. And I guess, how you wind up doing that tax planning is a little bit different based on what age you are, and I guess what your expectations for earnings are going to be for the future. One thing that I wind up asking people all the time is, where do you think taxes are going in the future? Do you think they're going to be going up or down? If it's a younger professional client who plans on making more money, they're probably not going to be in any lower tax bracket in the next couple of decades. So for them, it's a question of whether or not and to what extent they defer their taxes to another day, or do they wind up paying the taxes today and never have to pay the taxes again if they play the rule right, the rules right. So do you defer them? Do you keep them? Do you put the money into the Roth 401k? Do you defer it into your regular 401k? So these are all the decisions that we wind up making as we wind up going through the financial planning process to see where it makes sense. And then, as you wind up looking at the other investments, let's say it's a taxable investment, like you said, are we going to have access to funds that are going to be taxed favorably with long-term capital gains, dividends, things that are going to be taxed at a lower rate than maybe just, ordinary income.
And what about the issue? This is the time of the year people are taking a look at the stock market. We had a good year last year, despite getting off to a rocky start with that major correction. Let's talk about risk and investing appropriately given your age and risk profile, because what most people don't realize is that over 90% of your return is not whether you pick the right mutual fund, you pick the right stock or bond. It is asset allocation. If your asset allocation is proper, that determines more of your success and your rate of return than, let's say, trying to focus on, I want to pick, the best performing mutual fund or ETF last year, or, I want to get on board Tesla or Bitcoin because it's going up astronomically.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. When you wind up looking at modern portfolio theory and where you're supposed to be invested in your given time period and the tolerance for risk that you have, your younger clients with the time horizon that they do have and the ability to grow money for that period and to be able to withstand the ups and downs of the market, inherently you are able to take a little bit more risk in your portfolio than someone who's going to need that money in the next 2, 5, 7 years. But I guess on the flip side, Jim, even when we wind up looking at someone approaching retirement, it's not as though we can take their whole portfolio and just go to cash, right? Because when we wind up looking at potentially a couple of decades of needing to be withdrawing funds, we still need those funds to grow and keep up with inflation in the future.
And the important thing too is once you know what your risk tolerance is and how you should be properly allocated, whether you're putting money in a 401k plan or just saving personally, having that and then also having a plan, Aaron, sort of keeps you on track, because what happens, it's very easily to let our own emotions get to us and affect our investment decisions. Let's say if, for example, let's go back to last year, where in February, in a 3-week period of time, the major indexes lost almost 40% in a 3-week period of time. So had you panicked and got out, you would have missed the return that we saw come in right beginning at the end of March. So, and then the important thing is when you have a plan, you don't go off course or you don't go off rabbit trails and say, oh, I want to put my money in Bitcoin because that thing has gone from 10 to 40,000. So you, the plan, having that plan keeps you on track. So you basically don't let emotions come in and affect your decisions, because I've seen some of the worst decisions people react to the news. Because if something bad happens in the news, what are you going to do? You're going to hear about it 24 hours in every news cycle. And if you're hearing this 24 hours a day, it's very easy to get swayed by short-term news events versus keeping your eye on the ball towards your long-term objectives.
Right. I guess that kind of bodes to it being a discipline kind of a thing. And I think that's one of the, when we have the relationship with our clients, that's the one thing that we really hone in on is, you know, if you do have the right long-term asset allocation that works for you, we don't have to make egregious changes to it on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis, because we're investing for the long term.
And now let's talk about something that often gets a lot of individuals in trouble as they plan for their retirement or planning for their family. And that is taking on too much debt, whether it's mortgage debt, car loan debt, student debt, credit card debt. Let's talk about debt management.
Yeah, you know, as you wind up looking at debt management and you see where interest rates are right now, I think a lot of times when you wind up seeing the housing market flying and you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, you know, that can also, if your balance sheet isn't growing and you're just taking on more debt as time goes on, you're really not getting ahead. But, you know, these days, one thing that we are talking about with people is when you wind up looking at your overall debt allocation, because you wind up having interest rates where they are right now, we do have a lot of people who are taking a second look at refinancing their mortgage and looking at their debt as a whole and seeing if it would make sense for them to refinance, free up cash. And at this point in time, you know, is it necessary that, you know, we wind up paying down the mortgage any faster than we need to because interest rates are as low as they are? So it gives people a little bit more freedom and flexibility with their cash flow right now if they are looking at interest rates being so low and being able to refinance. That has been something that's come up quite a bit.
So if we were to sum up, Aaron, if you were to boil it down to, let's say, 1, 3, 5 steps, our priorities, how would you sum it up in terms of if you really want to get into financial shape? Here, you know, starting with this list, priority 1, 2, 3, 4. If you could do that, please.
I would say number one, really start out with the goals and the values that you think are going to be important for you going forward this next year, right? And then any sort of decision making that you're going to be make is going to stem from that. And really getting in a good position for yourself, making sure that you have a nice emergency fund on hand, understanding what your budget is going to be, and then, you know, saving as much as possible and doing that as tax efficiently as you can is going to be important. But just as well, you know, if we are going to be saving money for the future and saving money for our future goals, we also have to protect ourselves from the bad stuff that could happen. So making sure that you have the right estate planning in place, making sure you have those wills and trusts established, but also making sure that you do have the right insurance in place too. You know, and not just even the life and disability and long-term care insurance, but, you know, even review the stuff with your property and casualty agent and make sure that you have the right auto and home. Sometimes that winds up being the most neglected of all. So it's protecting yourself, it's saving the money, it's making sure that you have the right budget in place so that you know cash flow-wise going forward you're going to be okay.
So, Aaron, there's a number of steps that individuals can do, and hopefully we've highlighted and given some contrast and ideas that individuals can start and prioritize. If anybody listening would like to contact you, Aaron, regarding, let's say, starting a financial plan, tell them how they could do so.
You can reach out to us by phone at 858-487-3939. And you can always reach out to me via email at aaron.wiegman, that's A-A-R-O-N, .W-I-E-G-M-A-N, @financialsense.com.
And we also have a toll-free number if you're not nearby. That's 888-486-3939. Well, this is the beginning of the year. Hopefully you found this helpful. We'll be covering a lot more of these subjects in lifetime planning as we go throughout the year. And you have any questions or topics you'd like to see covered, why don't you write to us at Financial Sense? We'd be glad to address those issues or get experts to address those issues here on the program. In the meantime, we hope all of you have a safe, prosperous, and healthy new year.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.